And when the human consciousness is outlived and outgrown and overcome, so that in spite of the ebb and tide of world affairs, you can take yourself out of that flow and stand in this prophecy that the Christ of my being now is under divine guidance, and that is all I can accept for myself and my neighbors. When you can consciously stand with that integrity, you are transfiguring. You are building the consciousness which walks through the physical world, untouched, unencumbered, living out its own divine life where all other physical appearances seem to be. Now we come to a new glory that Isaiah announces for us. He has told us about our invisible and inevitable Christ self. Now he tells us how to see within. And this is in the 60th chapter, verses 1, 4, 5, and then 11 through 13. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The minute the human consciousness is out of the way, this is the exalted assurance that rises within you. There is a feeling of arising, knowing the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The human consciousness is not separating you from creation. In the fourth verse, it says, lift up thine eyes round about and see. This lifting up the eyes and seeing is different than looking out of physical eyes. This is accepting the invisible presence of God now. Until for you, God is now, is a truth that echoes throughout your being. God is now. Where is there a place where God is not now? I have been seeing through recreated eyes. And all they could see was recreation. They were not seeing that God is now, and that all that is of God is now, and that there is no question anymore in you that the perfection of God is now everywhere. Lift up thine eyes and see. This inner vision is really acceptance that it is so. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. The inevitability of Christ recognition. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted upon thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Always in the Bible, the Gentiles refers to those who are living in material sense. All of the false material sense is evaporated. As Christ opens the soul, there is a subtle alchemy that takes place in which the soul pours forth the new divine image where the mind had poured forth the physical image. and slowly that soul image begins to replace the physical image. Your days in the wilderness are repaid, multiple. The wilderness is being willing to walk in the nothingness of the world, knowing that the allness of spirit is all that is present. That's your wilderness. Again and again and again, you walk in it knowing, until something lifts up your eyes and you see with an inner eye what cannot be seen with the outer eyes. That seeing is an infinite awareness of the allness of spirit. In verses 11 through 13, the same chapter 60, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. This is telling us of the omnipotence of the Christ. Whoever will not serve Christ must perish. The nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Wherever there is no total surrender to Christ, there is complete desolation. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The inevitable triumph of Christ over the false consciousness of man is heralded by Isaiah. It is not his opinion. He is a divine reporter. He is taking you past the gates of the senses to reveal to you that place where you can walk consciously now to find your true inner peace. Not a peace that will perish, but a peace that will endure. Now all this is prophecy, and yet you are to learn to receive similar prophecy within yourself. It may not take 60 chapters in a Bible. It may be a word. It may be a sentence. It may be a divine thought. But please believe that you are being prepared for inner prophecy. But really, there is no other way to live in creation. We'll pause in a moment. We're still following the invisible path of the prophets, finding the thread of continuity that holds them in a unity, and enters finally into our triumphal entry into the new consciousness. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. The word of the Father continues through Isaiah, and now it comes through Zechariah. And lo and behold, it makes a similar prophecy. The elapsing of human time means nothing to the Word. And here is the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. How significant is that going to be? That the very identical prophecy is repeated through Zechariah. And then let's go way into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in Matthew 21. And you see the inevitability of prophecy. The Word always manifests. This is the 21st chapter of Matthew. Hundreds of years later. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them unto me. Now how come the animals were there? There was no choice. There had to be a time when this prophecy became a visible fact. And if any man say unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass, and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, this is the outer description of the change of consciousness within you. He rode in on the colt. You ride into the New Jerusalem, not on the old consciousness, but on the colt, onto the reborn self. That is what takes you into the new consciousness. The foal of the colt is your new consciousness of self, which takes you back into Christhood. You cannot ride into Jerusalem unless you ride on the colt. You must take off the garment you wear of mortality. It's on the reborn consciousness, the presence of Christ in you, and this is outwardly prefigured by Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem on the foal of the colt. Not the first animal, the second. Not the first human self, but the reborn self. And the same thread, the same continuity of truth from Isaiah through, in fact, all the way from Genesis 49, if you remember. up until the triumphal entry into Jerusalem is the change of your consciousness. Why do you change your consciousness? Because the old consciousness cannot take you into creation. The old consciousness is the way you have been doing things, and so you cannot continue to do things the same way, or you would not be in a new consciousness, a reborn consciousness. That reborn consciousness must do things in a new way, not in the normal way. And so it will not feel normal to do the new things you must do. It will not feel normal to look at the world and say, I see no one there. But that is the way your consciousness is reborn. Then you say, well, must I be consistent about this? If there's no one there, why do I talk to somebody? And if there's no food there, why do I eat it? And if there's no taxi cab, why do I get into it and tell them to take me somewhere, especially when space isn't there? When you do these things, you are not doing them. They're all part of the dream. And it's only as you develop the conscious awareness that you're not doing them, that you break the bubble of the old consciousness. You must still feed the dream. You must still take the dream form and send it where it wants to go. You must still carry out some of the conventions of the form. Your new consciousness is not born in a minute. It is a gradual change. It is a change that has been taking place for centuries and only now is coming into your conscious awareness. That's the change has been taking place. You cannot stop eating any more than you could suddenly jump into the water and say, I don't have to learn how to swim and I don't care if I drown, it won't be happening to me. But you must know that Christ cannot drown, and Christ needs no food, and Christ does not travel in taxi cabs. You must walk in the visible recreation, knowing that the self of you is in the invisible creation. And only in the knowing are you eventually going to ride in to the New Jerusalem on the new consciousness. Suffer it to be so now, but know the truth. We're not being hypocrites and saying there's no food there and then gobbling it down. We are living consciously in that which is within ourselves, while the outer form functions in that which is not. And that's quite a step than believing you're walking in reality in this world. You'll find that if you're making this penetration by taking your consciousness out of the belief that you're walking in a physical reality, the next steps will always present themselves in the course of the divine sequence that is teaching you. That is why prophecy is so important. Another word for inner prophecy would be revelation, wouldn't it? Don't become so impatient that you're ahead of the inner teacher. You will be taught gracefully how to move out of recreation into creation. It is not an abrupt transition. First, the consciousness must go before you. And then the soul will send forth the new divine image which does everything that you are first learning to do in consciousness. Now, some of you may have the idea that if you do nothing, it'll all come out all right anyway. It hasn't for the world up to now. And the teaching of the Bible is all about conscious union with God. Consciously denying thyself, consciously detaching from this world and its possessions, consciously following the inner Christ. The illusion is that we are all moving in time towards something that will someday be better, but we're not moving in time that way at all. There is no movement in time. That's the mirage. Just as Christ, Jesus, rides into Jerusalem, fulfilling visibly a prophecy made in the 49th chapter of Genesis, continued through Isaiah and Zechariah, so in you, yesterday's prophecy will become tomorrow's experience. And if you are not able to stand aside and let it be so, you are in calm. The will of the Father in you must come to the surface of your consciousness and then be the way of life that you follow. If you're not receiving that inner prophecy, you're not preparing the way. John 5:25, we now come to the New Testament, continuing the thread of truth. Verily, verily, I, Christ in you, say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's what today's class is all about. Living with spiritual integrity in such a manner that you are inviting the voice of the Father in you to become an active master of all that you do. The dead, it says, shall hear the voice, and it is speaking of those who live in recreation. Speaking of the human race. Come to Paul now. In 1206, well, let's go to 3:9-11. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, 9-11. Paul is telling us, in a measure, what his mission was and what the purpose of Christ in us is. He states it this way, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, whether or not the word Jesus appears with Christ or does not appear with it, you can forget it. Because what he's really saying is, the world has been hidden God who created all things by Christ. That doesn't mean Jesus did not come into full Christhood. It means that Christ is the substance of creation. And always by the personalizing of Christ into Jesus Christ, you lose the meaning. And just as there are other words in the Bible which can be mistaken, if we persist in saying that the substance of the creation is Jesus Christ, we have lost the meaning. The substance of creation is Christ in you. I'm not saying that the originals didn't have the word Jesus. I might suspect it. Or I'm not saying that Paul didn't know and thought that Jesus Christ was the substance of your being. I'm simply saying that Christ is the substance. And Jesus is the one who attained the awareness of his substance, teaching us that that substance is omnipresent everywhere. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Without Christ in you, realize the wisdom of God is unknown. Without Christ in you, realize there's no place to go except a repeat performance of what you've been doing. According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your purpose is only fulfilled in Christ. Now there's hard work ahead. The day of easy work is long gone by. And you must be prepared for that hard work. And you're not prepared if you still think in terms of this world or anything in this world, because that's the delusion. The only preparation for the hard work is the knowledge that the purpose on earth for each one who appears as a human being is to know Christ within himself. There's no other way to know God. And if that is your purpose alone, the hard work to you won't be drudgery. It will be difficult, but it will be the way you bless the inner babe. Now, detachment is a word that is easy to say. I am detached. But to be detached from your human self is something else again. You can detach from physical possessions. You can say, I am detached from the world. But are you detached from the you that has been your mortal being? That's the degree of detachment that we must practice, and that's the hard work. That means I am detached from personal ambition. I am detached from personal possessions. I am detached from personal vanity. I am detached from personal ego. I am detached from all those things which can be called self-love. That's hard work. Self-love seeks no praise. That is, when you have overcome self-love. Self-love wants to be seen of men. Self-love in some way wants to be seen in a favorable light. And you say, you mean I'm not supposed to want to be seen in a favorable light? No, because when you do, who do you want to see you in a favorable light? If you are beholding the Christ in another individual, there's no one there to see you except the Christ. You must be true to truth. Only truth can make you free. And there's no truth in human vanity. There's no truth in human ego. There's no truth in human self-love. There's only truth in Christ. And so you can wash all your ambitions away. You can take all of your human desires and realize there is zero as the entire recreated universe. They have no existence. They're false. They're born out of a consciousness that is false. That's why. And as long as self-love in some way contributes to the activities of your form, your habits, your way, you're not ready to roll up your sleeves and do the hard work. You can go the other way and say, because I am overcoming self-love, it doesn't matter how I look. And that may sound very right to you, but again, that's the opposite side of the coin, still refusing to do the work. You don't begin from the standpoint of how you look. That isn't the way you begin. You begin with the babe. And the way you are going to look is going to depend upon what the babe within you does. That's your starting point always. You start with your invisible self, and you rest in it and let it live itself. And whatever it brings into visible manifestation will be that invisible self expressing. It is the hardest work you will ever find. You could become a millionaire much easier than that. You could become famous. You could win a statue in the square. You could win a Nobel Prize, and it would all be much easier than living in yourself, as yourself. And only those of us now who are opening the way to Christ through living in ourself are going to be guided by the inner prophet and fed and nourished and sustained through all that appears as evil in the recreated world. I know you know that's true. You don't have to convince anyone but yourself now that the self that isn't you is your own murderer. The self that isn't you is the one who makes you poor. The self that isn't you is the one who makes you fear and doubt. The one who isn't you is committing daily suicide, reaching out for the mirages that aren't there. And the hard work is to not let that false self live a life that is truly non-existent. Whatever bruises you incur in living in your true self will be illusory bruises. And ultimately you will discover you have opened the way for the voice of prophecy. For then the Father who seeth that only Christ stands where you are in your consciousness speaks to Christ. For this is the one sealed by the Father, and your inner ears listen to the divine message. Eat of divine food. You are anchored in infinite oneness. And the babe has grown up. Verily, says John, the day is coming, and now is, when those who listen, who prepare the way, will hear the voice of Christ within. And that voice means the unchanging universe is opened up. The original, the invisible original universe is opened up, and you walk in it, and it walks through you. And grace is not a word, but a continuity of experience. The unchanging universe is the Word. That Word, that unchanging universe, is different than the human consciousness which lives in the meat, the life that perishes. Wasn't it Paul in Romans who told us that if we live this way, nothing can separate us, not even death, from the love of God? This is the same Paul who tells us here in Ephesians that Christ is the way to eternal life. I think he has more to say on that subject. Right here in the same chapter, 14 and 15. Chapter 3, 14 and 15. Of whom, speaking of Christ, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do we think of ourselves as human beings, but actually we are Christ beings? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I think I'd like to continue with this chapter for a minute, right through to the end, 16 to 21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Well, we thought we knew the breadth and the depth and the length and the height. But with Christ we learn a new level of dimension. We learn that the breadth we know and the height we know is in the recreated world. We don't know it in the creation. But Christ does. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We're told we're not in the fullness now, we're in the partial, in the fragment. But in Christ, you're in the fullness. But you are the Christ. It is the name of your being, and so you're in the fullness. And the hard work is to reject the fragment, to reject the lifespan, to reject the limitation, to reject all that cannot be but seems to be, to reject the complete recreation of the mind, to reject everything that is not. Christ's perfection now is the hard work. And you don't have to get rid of it. You have to know consciously it isn't here. Recreation is not here, because Christ is. You're stepping out of the fourth level of consciousness, accepting the seventh as the reality, and that is having faith in Christ. The imperfections are not here. Christ is. As we reject recreation, matter, time, space, motion in it, we reject all that appears in the visible world and stand inside ourselves in Christ. And this prolonged, held fast, is Paul's way of telling us that we walk in the eternal. We walk in creation, here and now. Then we understand what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. All the false dimensions fade away. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In the doing of this only is the experience of it. Again, I think we can say that the voice within Paul was the voice of Christ speaking, and that this is an inspired prophecy. Again, assuring you that if you walk in the path prescribed, that you are in the world without end. Paul was not one to leave us hanging on a thread. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee life. I hope that phrase has more meaning for us as we have followed this continuity. I hope it's saying to you, what am I waiting for? The time is now, not tomorrow. This babe in me is accepted as my true life, my true self. This babe in me is going to be the voice I listen to. I'm not going to walk in a recreation called matter, called a world. And finally, from it will come your quickening. We're jumping now to Matthew 17:1. I'd like you to see transfiguration in another way. In Matthew 17:1, which is not in John for a very good reason, we find this. If you were to say to Jesus Christ, what's your secret? Tell me. All the words would not say it as well as the transfiguration. Because what is revealed in it is the invisible consciousness that is standing there. Where you see a form visibly, the invisible Christ says, one moment, I'll show you what is here. You see, I'm not a form. I am the invisible light called the Christ. And this is what you are now. When you are inside yourself this way, knowing yourself to be the transfigured self, which is the invisible Christ, you would see yourself as this transfiguration. You would see, that's what I have been all these centuries while the form was unaware of it. I am the transfigured self. And the visible Christ, becoming visibly transfigured before the three disciples, is a statement of the quality of the consciousness that is your consciousness now. It is a sort of prophecy in itself that this consciousness that you see exhibited visibly is your consciousness, and one day you will know it. Look at it that way and you'll see it a new way. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to an high mountain apart. We're now in the high consciousness then of the high mountain, and was transfigured before them. He's changing the recreated appearance of form so that they can see the reality, the creation that is there. Was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Talking now about omnipotence and omniscience, which are qualities of the Christ. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. We see eternal life is in the invisible creation. There was no death there. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. They were lifted right out of that consciousness. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. This is my beloved Son, was the statement that the invisible Christ made visible there is the Son of God in each of us. You must learn to transfigure yourself. This self-transfiguring is the daily way in which you honor the babe. You must take yourself daily out of the flesh. You must go to a mountaintop. You must stand in the high consciousness until your sun, your face are one and the same. Until your form is no longer there, but Christ is. This is the hard work. And until you receive the inner conviction that this is so. Transfiguration is not an historical event in the Bible. It is a daily experience that you must consciously undertake. This is my beloved Son. Are you? Then why live in a recreated form? When the Christ is not that physical form at all, and when that physical form is not the beloved Son. But this is my beloved Son. Right where you are is the invisible beloved Son that you truly are. And it takes this conscious hard work. And that's your third exercise for the week. Self-transfiguration. Go to your high mountain and self-transfigure. See yourself as you are. Remove all of the boundaries of the flesh. I don't expect all of you to do it every day, because I don't expect that all of you are living with the conscious awareness that only union with God is your purpose. But I think that all of you who are living with that purpose will do it every day. This week. And it's the way. Why could Paul say we could never be separated from the love of God, neither by life nor death? Because he had gone through his inner self-transfiguration to discover that the self which is Christ is always itself. It doesn't follow the form in time. Disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. There was a time when I think we would have been sore afraid. And now, when we turn away and say, well, I'll have to decide whether or not to do that. We have already announced that we're going to continue living in the recreated universe. And truthfully, those who have made that decision, they should not be in this class at all. They're going to remain dead, and we want life here. We're only interested in those students who are going to live in creation. Our only function is to work with such students. We've never had any other function. And then Jesus said to those who fell on the face and were sore afraid, touch them and said, arise, be not afraid. His touching them is the inner recognition that they and he were one and the same. Arise, be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Then said he to them, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Well, the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And we can tell every man who will listen, thou art the Christ, the seal of God is upon you. It takes hard work to live as what you are. It's very easy to live as what you're not. John told us, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which meat which endureth. Yourself in Christ is that which endureth. Yourself in mortality is the meat that perisheth. This world in physicality is the meat that perisheth. Consciously we do not seek any meat that perisheth. Consciously we know the nothingness of all that passes in time. Now to that degree, you're not living in space. You're living outside of space, outside of the concept of it. You're living outside of recreation and all that it contains. It seems like such a small movement, and yet it's an infinite movement. As you make the transition to consciously reject recreation, this is the preparation for Christ in you. You've got your three exercises now. They are the way you open yourself to the living voice of prophecy. And until you have learned to live by inner prophecy, you will follow the mind that is not in Christ Jesus. There may be a fast jump from one week to the next. There will be another jump next week. But the purpose of these seven are to make clear to you that which you must do when the 7 weeks are terminated, as well as what you should be doing now. We want everyone to be ready to plunge in to this world without any need of any form of protection other than self-knowledge. We're going to terminate with a brief silence, and then Marianne has asked me if she could ask or mention a few things to you. So after we've had our silence, Marianne will have a few words for us. again, I feel that the only appropriate word that ends this meeting today is the feeling of the presence of the Father's love. That, to me, is the most prominent feeling that has come through. The Father's love is present. Thanks again. Marianne, it's all yours.